You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Topic: Set Aside, Be Holiness Unto the Lord. Title: Kodesh Latonai, Holiness to the Lord. However I turn, bake, or shake it, it is always a surprise how God, through His Holy Spirit, leads us into a new message. Many times I truly have no clue where He wants me to go, even on Saturday evening. To many preachers this sounds strange. They might exclaim, "That is crazy. I work on my message all week and know exactly where the Lord is taking me." I have walked that path for many years as well, but not in the last 2 years. For many other preachers, this experience is equally common. Within Eagle Wings Charismatic Ministries International, we always keep our notes for further teaching and edification. They also help us remain accountable in the ministry, ensuring that we preach pure doctrine. The Word of God warns that in the last days there will be much false doctrine, teachings designed to tickle itching ears. In our age of political correctness, people often prefer affirmations over the call to change. They rename terrorist as freedom fighter, recast people's sin as a mere weakness, or even shift the blame to God by suggesting a defective gene is to blame. For all of those ear-tickling friends, I have a message today. You will not hear that within Eagle Wings Charismatic Ministries International. The message for today leads us away from sin. At the start of this year, we began to ponder traveling on the highway of salvation, the highway to holiness. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 8, Amplified Bible. "And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for the redeemed. Even the simple ones and fools shall not err in it or lose their way." How do you suppose the way of error will be named on this road of righteousness? Hell. Perhaps Hotel of the Never Cold. People can name things whatever they wish. Yet like the Bereans, if we search and compare everything with the written Word of God, we will know the truth and the real names of things. One of the signs we see on this highway reads Kadosh Ladonai, Holiness to the Lord, with a great arrow pointing straight ahead. Today, we continue to follow that road and the Word of God by examining what those words mean for us. The High Priest, our Kohen Gadol, Jesus the Messiah, had those very words inscribed on the front of his mitre, much like a tiara, while he ministered before God in the holy place. Exodus chapter 28, verse 36 to 38, Common English Bible. "Make a flower ornament of pure gold and engrave on it, like an official seal, holy to the Lord. Fasten it on the turban with a blue cord. It is to be on the front of the turban. It will rest on Aaron's forehead, and Aaron will bear whatever guilt is connected with the holy offerings that the Israelites give as their sacred donations. It will always be on his forehead, so that the people may be remembered favorably in the Lord's presence." In our modern day, we do not see pastors wearing a golden plaque on their foreheads with the words, "Holiness to the Lord." Instead, we often see the phrase embroidered on a cloth or carved into the wood at the center of the sanctuary as a constant reminder to the people. Yet many Christians, when asked about its true meaning, would say, "Yes, I know that." In reality, the inscription was meant to remind the people that they might be remembered favorably before the Lord. My friends, isn't that completely the other way around? If we desire to be remembered favorably in the Lord's presence, we must continue to pursue holiness again and again. When we accept Jesus into his body by confessing him as Lord and Savior, we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In that baptism, we are cleansed of our sin and stamped on the forehead, so to speak, with the words, cleansed, made righteous by Christ. What a great and wonderful gift. Yet, because of our sinful nature and our appetite for worldly things, we can be stained again within seconds. Scripture tells us, and we have read it many times in recent weeks, that Jesus Christ took up our sin. Jesus Christ is our high priest, the bishop of our souls, who presents us, the church, as a wave offering to the Lord. Jesus Christ is holiness to the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 12, we receive a message about God disciplining his sons, a chapter full of encouragement and correction. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, Amplified Bible. Strive to live in peace with everybody and pursue that consecration and holiness without which no one will ever see the Lord. This verse sets us on the path we must take. It reveals two ways, one with holiness, one without. We may share in God's holiness through consecration, or we may remain without God's presence. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10, Common English Bible. Our human parents disciplined us for a little while as seemed best to them, but God disciplines us for our benefit so that we can share his holiness. Notice the pairing of two words in verse 14, consecration and holiness. Consecration means being set apart. Holiness is the presence of God. We will never, as some cults claim, be God. Yet we can become holiness to the Lord when he consecrates us, setting us apart as his followers and children. During praise and worship, we sang the words, "This is my desire to honor you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me." Did you sing those words with me? I certainly hope so. Did you mean them, or were they merely words? God desires an open heart so that he can shape and mold, discipline us. Do you think you have truly fought against sin? The sins we wage war against now begin with a lowercase s. Can you imagine the sin that must be fought during the tribulation? Sin with a capital S? A tribulation that all who have not given their hearts to God must endure. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4 to 10, Amplified Bible. You have not yet struggled and fought agonizingly against sin, nor have you resisted to the point of shedding your own blood. And have you completely forgotten the divine word of appeal and encouragement addressed to you as sons? My son, do not think lightly of or scorn the Lord's correction and discipline, nor lose heart and give up when you are reproved by him. For the Lord corrects and disciplines everyone he loves, and he punishes every son he accepts. You must submit to and endure correction for discipline. God is dealing with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not train and discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all of God's children share, then you are illegitimate offspring, not true sons at all. Moreover, we had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more willingly submit to the Father of spirits and live? Our earthly fathers disciplined us for a short time as seemed proper to them. But he disciplines us for our certain good, that we may share His holiness. In the days of Jeremiah, people cried, "Peace, peace," and we hear the same cry today. Meanwhile, others sow terror. It is the age-old conflict of right versus wrong, war versus peace, humanity against itself. Those who live under the sin-laden spirit of Esau do not seek the true peace of God, known as Shalom. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 to 17, Amplified Bible. Strive to live in peace with everybody and pursue that consecration and holiness without which no one will ever see the Lord. Exercise foresight and watch carefully that no one falls back and fails to secure God's grace in order that no root of resentment, bitterness, or hatred sprouts and causes trouble, thereby defiling many. See to it that no one engages in sexual vice or becomes a profane, godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you understand that later, when he wanted to regain that inheritance of blessing, he was rejected, disqualified, and set aside, for he found no opportunity to repair by repentance what he had done, though he sought it with bitter tears. With the sin-laden spirit of Esau, we cannot find holiness unto the Lord. The attachment to sin is too strong. In the Old Testament, those who approached the temple first took a ritual bath so they could stand pure before the Lord. For us, that ritual still holds meaning. We must cast off sin and put it far from us. Sin is unholiness. What then is holiness? First, God Himself is holiness. Kodesh in Hebrew, hagiosmos in Greek, purity in its absolute form. Hagiosmos signifies purification, holiness, sanctification. Hagios connotes sacred, pure, blameless. And here comes the key word, consecrated, set apart. Perhaps it is easier to examine what holiness is not. Verses 15 to 17 show us unholiness, unforgiveness, immorality, and the worldliness of humankind. John Calvin wrote, "His depraved lust dazzled his eyes and blinded him. For earthly satisfaction, he turned away from heavenly things and thus profaned the most beautiful." The Greek term for immoral is pornos, a prostitute who sells his or her body for money. We often hear that everyone has a price. At what price do we sell ourselves? Esau sold his birthright to satisfy an immediate craving. In effect, he prostituted his birthright for a meal. What is your price? What is our price? To barter away salvation, our holiness to the Lord, a higher social standing, status, a new car, house, or pleasurable pastime. Is it easy to barter away holiness? God knows our weakness and illustrated it even in the temple. The temple furniture proclaimed God's holiness. In the tabernacle courtyard, an enormous basin, the sea, served for washing. 2 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, Common English Bible. He made a bronze altar, 30 feet long, 30 feet wide, and 15 feet high. Then he made a circular tank of cast metal called the sea. It measured 15 feet from rim to rim, was 7.5 feet high, and 45 feet in circumference. Under the rim, encircling it completely, were two rows of ox-like figures, 10 every 18 inches, cast in one piece with the sea. Why was it there? Washings were required so that worshippers would be ceremonially clean for worship. The worshipper washed, sometimes the sacrifice was washed, and the priest washed. 2 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 4 to 6, Common English Bible. The sea rested on 12 oxen with their backs toward the center, 3 facing north, 3 west, 3 south, and 3 east. The sea was as thick as the width of a hand. Its rim was shaped like a cup or an open lily blossom. It could hold 3,000 baths. He also made 10 wash basins, 5 on the south and 5 on the north. The items used for the entirely burned offerings were rinsed in these. The priests washed in the sea. The message reverberated everywhere. God is holy. We are not. God has a standard, and we must meet it if we hope to have our worship accepted. Today, we do not go to the temple or wash in sanctified basins, but nothing has changed regarding our need to be washed clean. Revelation chapter 7, verse 13 to 15, Amplified Bible. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in long white robes, and from where have they come?" I replied, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his sanctuary. And he who sits upon the throne will spread his tabernacle over them and shelter them with his presence." Elisha A. Hoffman captured the truth in 1878 with the hymn, "Are You Washed in the Blood?" Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. In Old Testament times and in the days of Jesus, people took great care to avoid blood or death, lest they become unclean. Think of the parable of the Good Samaritan or the woman with the issue of blood. Yet unholiness and impurity still flow today through radio, television, the internet, newspapers, movies, music, and books. We are continuously under attack and must guard ourselves from the works of Satan and the world, lest garbage in become garbage out. Holiness once seemed unreachable, something desperately needed yet beyond our grasp, because impurity flowed outward, staining everyone it touched. Nothing has changed, or has it? Everything changed with Jesus. The woman did not defile him. Rather, virtue, goodness, and healing flowed from him. Jesus makes pure what is impure. He makes that which is unacceptable to God acceptable. Holiness flows out from Jesus. Do we need to concern ourselves with holiness now? Absolutely. You need holiness to see God. In our sinful, fallen state, we require cleansing to stand before him. On our own, we do not have the holiness to come to God, yet there is one who does, Jesus. He gave himself so that we might be made clean. The stains of sin that render us unfit can be cleansed by Christ. Through him, we are declared righteous. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 to 22, Common English Bible. But now God's righteousness has been revealed apart from the law, confirmed by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ for all who have faith. There is no distinction. God proclaims in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, "Be holy, for I am holy." Near the end of his life, imprisoned in Rome, Paul wrote to his student Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 to 22, Amplified Bible. In a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also utensils of wood and earthenware, some for honorable use, others for ignoble. Whoever cleanses himself from what is ignoble and unclean, separating himself from corrupting influences, will become a vessel set apart and useful for honorable purposes, consecrated and profitable to the Master, fit and ready for every good work. Shun youthful lusts, flee from them. Pursue righteousness, right living in thought, word, and deed, along with faith, love, and peace, in fellowship with all who call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. We are Christians. By accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we separate ourselves from the world and dedicate ourselves to God. Be sanctified, set apart, to do His work. Will you be mindful, moment by moment, of how your actions affect the work of the kingdom of God? Will you deliberately separate yourselves, by choice, in thought and lifestyle, unto God, so we may be called His children? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 to 18. Common English Bible. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. Then I will welcome you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Pursue a right relationship with God. Pursue a righteous lifestyle. Turn away from old, worldly habits. Distance yourself from anything that is not of the Lord. Pursue shalom in every dimension of life, physical, social, psychological, and spiritual. In light of this journey along the highway to holiness, we stand confronted by the signpost that reads, Kadosh Ladonai, Holiness to the Lord. Its arrow points ever forward, inviting each of us to leave the detours of compromise behind. Holiness is not a relic of ancient ritual. It is the living atmosphere of God's presence, breathed into our daily walk by the Holy Spirit. We have learned that consecration is not achieved in a single dramatic moment, but is practiced in the quiet, deliberate choices that shape our character. Each decision either draws us nearer to that golden inscription or nudges us toward Esau's tragic bargain. The discipline of the Lord is therefore not punitive, but purifying, forging vessels fit for honorable service. Let us remember that holiness flows outward from Christ. As we abide in Him, His virtue transforms us, washing away the stains that once disqualified us. Our call is to remain in the flow, allowing His life to cleanse, empower, and commission us for every good work. Finally, may we, like the mitre on the high priest's brow, carry a visible testimony of consecration wherever we go. In our homes, workplaces, and communities, let the fragrance of holiness bear witness that we belong to the Lord. Pursuing righteousness, peace, and love, we become living signposts that direct others to the same highway of salvation. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ sustain you as you walk this road, and may the Spirit continually whisper Kadosh Ladonai, holiness to the Lord, over every step you take. Pursue a right relationship with God. Pursue a righteous lifestyle. Turn away from old, worldly habits. Distance yourself from anything that is not of the Lord. Pursue shalom in every dimension of life, physical, social, psychological, and spiritual. Amen and amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.